So I want to bring your attention to one more prayer request, and that would be Terry Enser. But he has another caller Monday in Portland to remove the type of lymphoma it is, that God will be in this. God will be with the doctors, and hopefully we have a good process that they can go from here. So let's pray for that before we begin. We pray that you can be in the midst of the family right now, be with ages, but being 17 and hearing that you have cancer is that you will work in this process, that it will be something of good news for us, that you always involve yourself in, God. Most importantly, we do pray that you will be with the family as a whole. God, we thank you for your word this morning. And if there is there's something that you need me to say, may I be so bold and open to say it. Most important, pray. Amen. So baby elephants are born right next to the people who complain about celebrating Christmas too early. Because it's about me. I'm one of those big babies. My wife likes to celebrate. I love Christmas music. I have my Christmas music playlist going right now at home. We this year. I would say it's laziness. Amanda would say it was because of the joy of Christmas. After Thanksgiving, before we start playing the music, before we start putting up the tree, and we all have that time where we want to celebrate Christmas early. But let me explain where I'm coming from. When I hear Christmas carols, I enjoy Christmas, the lights, all of the presents, those things are great, okay? From the moment Halloween to season's greeting in a blink of an eye, wasting no time at all, the retail giants in our land roll out. We begin to see all the Christmas shopping commercials airing November 1st. As Americans, the spend speed bump in the mad dash towards Christmas Day is Thanksgiving, the forgotten holiday. Thanksgiving. For many, the last Thursday in November is a quick break before the annual greed stampede we like to call Black Friday. Before the turkey and the stuffing, to get a good deal or a great deal on one more thing that we probably don't need. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will, everything you desire, because if you did, what would you have to look forward to?" Someone out there is, it's one thing to be grateful, it's another to give thanks. Gratitude is what you're talking about, Thanksgiving. It's past, my Christmas music is playing. And that's fair. And for me, the attitude of Thanksgiving, not just the holiday, leads me to joy. This morning, we will be spending most of our time in Philippians 4. And the Apostle Paul was in rare bathroom privileges, limited visitation, and his health was probably failing. Words in Philippians 4:4. "Rejoice in the Lord always." Debuted, ooh, that's a tough sentence. Debuted in 1926. We all know Winnie the Pooh's stomach for honey, right? My double grr, if you've watched the TV show. Seen all over the place. Eeyore is slow, quiet, and a negative little donkey. And resigns and pins it back on. Even then, he is never joyful. As, oh well, eternal optimist. Eeyore is an eternal pessimist. Sees the glass at all. Now, some people have the Eeyore syndrome. They choose to look. They have no enthusiasm, sometimes no hope for life. The Eeyore syndrome of life, or someone who has a faith life. Joyful people cannot have the idea of the Eeyore syndrome. He says, "Discouragement is dissatisfaction with the past, ingratitude for the blessing, strength for tomorrow. It is unawareness of the presence of beauty. It is impatience with time, immaturity of thought, and impoliteness." If you didn't know, but joy is very important to our house. And I'll explain. So she was kind and greatly enjoys, and it says this, "One of the great joys of life," I guess, that can take us to the rest of the passages that we want to cover. So Philippians always, "Again, for I have learned in whatever situation, not that I am speaking of need, I know how stance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance, and the other for yourself," she told her daughter. When they were coming out of church, the mother asked her daughter a dollar, but just before that, the man up front said that I should be a cheerful giver. And I think of the words joy. Those are the two words that come to my mind. Name is joy. There are pictures of joy everywhere. There is artwork of joy. Every time I joined her by her name, she would have to finish it with joy. So I would usually say, first 2 years that we were, it sometimes when her mom calls her name, and I'll hear her say joy. Even if she's doodling on a piece of paper, a part of who Amanda is, literally, in her name. And the so is joy. The band Unspoken has a song titled Christmas Every Day. I mean, why do we wait 300? So we're trading in the wish list, all the things we never needed. Let love fill up our heart. So, in your head, I have a little quiz for you. What do you think the shortest verse is? Technically, you're correct. It's written if you speak English. If you speak Koine Greek, 1 Thessalonians 5. Joy appears over and over again in the scriptures. For instance, the Psalms are, but rejoicing comes in the morning. That's Psalms 30, verse 5. Is filled. It is a Christian virtue. Given this biblical emphasis, we should understand. Now, I recently watched a sermon series called God Never Said That. And the subject for that of happiness. If God wants me to be happy above all else, fill in the blank. Whatever makes me happy must be right. And whatever makes me unhappy, wrong, makes me happy. It can't be that bad. If it makes you happy, why the heck are you so wrong? Let me tell you, that is completely and utterly false and opposed to the gospel and the new discomfort, delay, risk, suffering, inconveniences, and obstacles cannot be an inconvenience, can't be a part of God's will. Again, this is false. Growing through something. This leads to the last one. If God wants me to be happy about money, pleasure, and the things of this world, and that is honestly where sometimes we do is false. The challenge with this is if God wants me to be happy, then we begin to think to serve us at all. He's not here to do what we want him to do. If we believe that God above all, many of us, without being that direct, we wouldn't say that. It's all differently. Let me be clear on that. Some of us have temperaments that are naturally more upbeat, melancholy, even-kiltered attitude. God doesn't resort to being joyers either. But the joy that we're talking about, joy of the Lord, is God. And if we think of that, it shows that it is both possible and necessary for all more than others. That would be me. But it is available to all who know God's abundant. First, we must know what biblical joy is. Sometimes we struggle to grasp this idea, describe joy and happiness. Very simple. Happiness depends on what happens. And therefore, we of circumstances. And we all know, all of us in this room, know circumstances, choice in circumstances. The Bible tells us, rejoice in the Lord. We don't fully know. It meets the deepest needs. Happiness is like a thermometer. It registers how often has your happiness evaporated and disappeared in times. Your joy intensifies. Don't worry. Be happy. Right? Be careful when we come to the text of the New Testament that we do not read it through the lenses of popular understanding. This leads me to the second point. We must understand the importance of joy. Did you know that there is no joy that we have in Jesus? A cold, dry faith has no appeal. His grandfather on the farm. While walking around, he noticed the chickens. They were scratching and playing and kicking up its grandfather's farm. He ain't got it. After examining all the animals, this boy finally found, and the way the donkey just stood there, he yelled for his grandfather to ask him what he had found. The little boy said, I found the animal that has the same joy that you, the kind of joy we have. Do people see us as donkeys with a long, sad face? Here in church, for example, hey, it's my turn to sit in the front row. I never noticed, don't worry. Personally, I find witnessing more enjoyable than golf. Since we're all here, let's start the service early. How joy is important to your walk. The Bible says we are to serve the Lord with gladness. So joy changes our lives. When you and I remember that God is in control, we joyful. Nehemiah 8:10 says this, this strength, but it's definitely one that we have sang before. And it means this, during tough times, the core. Now for me, sometimes I read the Bible a little bit better when I try on words sometimes. So let me try to emphasize different parts of this for you. The strength is that bottom part because that is the real emphasis. It's this is limited and sometimes weighing heavy on you. The Lord's strength is unlimited and here anyways. Can your health change and leave you physically weak? Of course it can. Maybe your body is not heavenly perfected yet. So our joy is knowing that no matter what, maybe the everyday ups and downs, the good and the bad times, through it all, because of that, we can and we should have joy. The surgeon said it this way. There is a marvelous medical power in joy. Most medicine is sweet to the taste and comforting to the heart. This blessed joy is very contagious. One which seems to stop all the birds from singing wherever he goes. But the grace seals of your life's machinery. Holy joy will strengthen you for your daily labor of others. Joy is not necessarily the let me discuss four joy stealers and then also four ways to get rid of these joy stealers. The first way from is sin weighs on your conscience. After David had committed adultery and had someone murdered, he came to in Psalms 51:12. But that is what sin does. It robs you and I of our joy. Let me ask a very honest question, one that you have to be vulnerable about. Is there a hub here and there? I'm talking about habitual sin. Something that you know is wrong, but this means to get rid of this joy stealer, you must remember your eternal perspective. Harder and love stronger than anyone else. After all, for the Christian, our past has been forgiven, our by their joy, not their circumstances. The second joy stealer is Jesus, is because you and I can sometimes be walking in the flesh and consuming the dangers that I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So as a believer from the world and behave the way the world tells me to or the way my nature tells me to, person, and when I become a joyless person, I am not going to enjoy the things of God. I'm not going to go to church, and I'll become too busy to pray. You cannot be a man living with real and complete joy in God. So my question is, how much do you popular figure you follow, but you don't memorize any scripture? Are you in fanatic? Do you care more about the stats of your sports team than the stats of people who like the news? My father-in-law is one of them. And I understand it is important to stay informed, but so can we consume all of this stuff and expect to be a joyful person, rejoicing in the Lord much of this world? It is difficult for me to have complete and total joy in God. And don't worry. Thanks, Paul, because that one is the easiest one, right? Our work, not to lose their joy by getting caught up in daily worries. How often does that happen to us? Any woe is me attitudes or any Eeyore syndromes that we may have. If you know, God can give you his peace, which leads to joy when you take your problems and worries to him. Complaining. I don't know about you, but I rarely feel better after complaining because it drains us and it breeds discontentment and only blocks the joy and blessings of God. Full. So what you are what you speak. And contentment. An airplane pilot was flying over the Tennessee mountain. Kid, I used to sit in a rowboat down there fishing. Every time a plane would pass down and wish I was in a rowboat fishing. Just like joy, contentment. Again, look at what Paul says in Philippians 4. Whatever circumstances I am. How could he make such a bold statement? But whose he is. The Bible speaks on contentment fairly often. So this idea of in Matthew 6:25, therefore, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you would in the body more important than clothes. If you and I fail to surrender bondage to our desires, we will forever lack joy. This means that we must do. No, I don't mean that as some self-help book, but I mean that in Philippians 4:8, if you're important here. When we expose ourselves to negative influences, we are basically watering hard to find in your life after you have surrendered yourself to the things of this world. Colossians, not on earthly things. The fourth joy stealer is circumstances. So we must learn to detach ourselves from circumstances and handle change with Dick smiled for a world record of 7 hours and 32 minutes. So a smile is unless you're Lisa Lester, and it can last 10 hours, but it will still fade. Earthly perspective, Paul should have been being stoned almost to death, all the things that have happened to this man when we face times of despair. So we must learn to gain a perspective like that of occasions because of Jesus. This means to get rid of this joy stealer, we must do the last times. A joyless person thinks they can only be happy if their circumstances lined up perfect. See that God is far more. We want God to change our circumstances, and we want him to take away all of our problems. All the pain in the world are so important to God. But just maybe, God is caring. Paul challenged Christians to be content despite whatever may come their way. It's a reliance on that. If you have no joy, once went to a minister for counseling, and he was in the midst of a financial collapse. No, the man corrected him. I haven't lost my faith. Well, I'm sad to hear that you've. Sorry to hear that you've lost. You have your faith, your character, your salvation. Now, I'm not saying that we must suppress feelings of grief when we are going through. Pretend that you are not. Is God's abiding joy. And the Bible offers us hope. We can focus on the things of this world or the things above. We can dwell on the lovely and of good repute. We have a choice to rejoice. And we must deliberately exercise. Determine if there will be any rejoicing in God as we go through them. Again, those they joyfully abandon everything else to secure it. Paul taught Christians are poor as a joyless Christian, for Jesus can turn any heartache into joy. One called, come what may, by we are messengers. And these are the words that are said. Sometimes you're faithful in all things, in every high, in every low, on mountain there is deep, holy thing. I'll rest in the arms of Jesus, come what may. An internal relationship with Jesus. The result is that the fruitful Christian you action. So, are you a Tigger today? So I'm going to transition into communion. Things are going to be a little different, so sit tight. Maybe than a church that you have been to, church, which is in Jesus. So, there are tables. There's one up here. There's one over there. And get the emblems and take them back to your seat, and we will take them together. But there's no greater time to give your life to Jesus than right now. So if you are interested, you can come up front. I know if you are interested in figuring out what that means, if something has convicted you today, almost always requires preparation. So let's take surgery for an example. In the operating room. The operating room itself is cleansed and completely put in place for easy access. Surgeons study the test results and look at x-rays to plan for the procedure. Clothing that we refer to, look back, the symbolic fact that every effort has been made to scrub other examples of this prayer properly. I think this is especially true when it comes to partial, until I learn the importance of communion. We must prepare by reflecting on what no one would have eternal life, Father, except through me. In this statement, Jesus declares the reason to be forgiven. So who could ever forget that? The one, even though we, so as the team wants to come up and to go and get the emblems, well, let's go ahead and prepare our hearts and pray. Loving us so much to come as a man, to enter this world, to take upon, there is no greater picture of love than that. And so God wants to have communion with us, that you want to be our Father. So can we pray? Amen.